It's Chesterfield time, pleasure time, the order of the day with radio listeners everywhere. Chesterfield presents George Burns and Gracie Allen, Frank Parker, Ray Noble and his orchestra. All right, Ray, one, two. This is Paul Douglas speaking, and last week I told you how Chesterfield's tobacco buyers visit the leading markets of the world to get the best cigarette tobaccos. Every one of these tobaccos is outstanding for some quality smokers like, and the way Chesterfield blends and balances them together gives a lot more smoking pleasure. Here's the reason. Chesterfield's have the right combination of mild, ripe, homegrown, and aromatic Turkish tobaccos rolled in pure cigarette paper. No cigarette can do more for you than Chesterfield. No other cigarette can give you Chesterfield's refreshing mildness, better taste, and more pleasing aroma. It's the blend that can't be copied. Chesterfield's satisfy millions. Campers have their weekends under the pine trees. Swimmers have their weekends under beach umbrellas. Astronomers have their weekends under the stars. But George and Gracie have their weekends under their hats. In other words, Chesterfields give you chest to fools, and here they are, George and Gracie.
Thank you. Well, Gracie, what do you say to everybody?
Hello.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, George, I'm having such a wonderful rest in New York. Nothing to do and all day to do it in.
So you're getting a good rest, are you?
Oh, yes. Last night I went to the Star Club, the El Morocco, Leon and Eddie's, the 21, the Paris, the Paradise, the Silver Slipper, the Cotton Club, and the Casino.
Well, those are nice places to rest.
Yeah, I think so. And tonight I'm going sightseeing, then taking a movie, walk up and down Broadway, then going to a cafe in Greenwich Village, and then drive out to the beach for a clam bake.
Clam bake. That's all, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's not tiring.
Oh, no. They have somebody there to open the clams for you.
But those nightclubs, what would you call going to 20 nightclubs?
I'd call a taxi.
I'd call you an imbecile.
Are they cheaper than taxis?
Much cheaper, yes.
I say, George.
Oh, hello, Ray.
You know, George, I'm still worrying about the type of humor you want from me on this program.
I don't want any humor from you, Ray. I can tell the jokes on this program, and I can tell good ones, too.
All right, then tell me if this is a good one. I say to you, George, I went duck hunting last week, and I didn't shoot a single duck. And you say, why not? And I say, because I couldn't tell the single ones from the married ones.
Ray, do you believe in signs?
Oh, rather.
Well, go find a sign that says exit.
Oh, rather, yes.
George, isn't Ray clever?
Yes, he's brilliant, yes.
You know, if he got a nice coat of tan and then crossed his legs behind his head, he'd look like a pretzel.
Yes, and if he put on a little weight, he'd look like an old shoelace.
Well, aren't we all?
Yes.
Oh, there's Mr. Douglas. Hello, Mr. Douglas.
Hello.
Well, hello, Paul.
Hello, George.
Mr. Douglas, don't take this personally, but I must tell you about a dream of mine. We're riding in the moonlight, the car stops, and you take me in your arms and you hug and kiss me.
When did you dream that, Gracie?
Well, I haven't dreamt it yet. That's my dream for tonight.
I see what you mean. You have all your dreams planned before you go to sleep.
Oh, sure. Otherwise, I might dream about Clark Gable, and that wouldn't be fair to Mr. Douglas.
Well, of course, he could always dream about Carol Lombard.
Oh.
Telegram for Frank Parker.
Well, Mr. Parker won't be here until shortly after he arrives.
Oh, well, here, miss. Will you give it to him when he gets in?
Here's a 50-cent tip, kid. Don't forget everybody. Frank Parker owes me $0.50.
Don't believe him. He only gave me a nickel.
Screw, son. Gracie, you can't open Frank Parker's telegram.
Oh, listen to this. G. just read that you're back in New York again, and we're giving you 2 days to come over and settle up last year's hotel bill. Signed, the Richmore Hotel.
Give me that telegram. I better put it back in the envelope here so that Frank won't know you opened it.
Oh, imagine Frank Parker sneaking out of the Richmore.
Gracie, why don't you mind your own business?
Giving him only 2 days. My daddy got 90 days. And I always mind my own business.
Yes, well, I've heard it whispered that you don't.
Well, then that's an idle rumor.
Opening Frank's telegram.
A false report.
Yeah, common gossip.
A busybody.
A busybody? What's a busybody?
Yeah, a hula dancer.
Oh, a hula dancer. Busybody. Oh, yeah. See what you mean. Well, Frank Parker.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, George. How many girls have been asking for me?
Take it easy, Frank. No girls have been asking for you.
Ah, but they will.
Frank, here's a telegram for you.
Oh, thanks. Say, that's a smart-looking suit you've got on, George.
Like it, huh?
Yeah, it just goes to show how silly it is to waste a gunny sack by filling it with potatoes.
Never mind, comedian. Just read the telegram.
Let's see. Just heard you're back in New York, and we're giving you 2 days to come back in New York and stand up. Ah, those women.
Oh, yeah. Ah, yes.
Anything important, Frank?
No, it's just for some dame whom I heard that was in town, and she wants me to go over the hotel for cocktails.
Well, I wouldn't let it bother you, Frank.
Where does she live, Frank? At the Richmore Hotel?
Quiet, Gracie.
I know a man who sneaked out of the Richmore
Hotel.
Nice
weather.
But, George, when you'll see the pretty little girl that met me tonight, George. She's coming for later, and we're going to all
is
meet
her later. Well, think about it better.
Her name is Betty McDermott. I'll tell you what happened.
Yes?
She was walking down Fifth Avenue looking very bored, and all of a sudden I came along.
Well, yes, I guess that settled it, Frank.
Yeah, I knocked her right off her feet. Mm.
What were you doing, riding a bicycle on the sidewalk?
Against the red light.
Oh. George, I'll bet the Richmore must be an expensive hotel, especially if you pay your bill.
Look, Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking, something is going to happen to you.
You think I ought to take out insurance?
It wouldn't be a bad idea because years ago my mother took out accident insurance.
Yeah, but you were born just the same.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain, and I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go to my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like a kicker in a chalupa of buffatoo. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself, can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise, like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. So I'm certain that this heart of mine has the most of a chance. Thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Till I say to myself, get a hold of yourself, can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise, like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head. You go to my head.
Parker singing You Go to My Head. That was really beautiful, Frank.
Oh, thanks, George. I just hope that Betty McDermott was listening in. She gets such a kick out of me.
So do you. Hello? Oh, just a minute.
Oh, it's probably Betty.
Gracie, you want it on the phone.
Oh, all right. I wish all those handsome men wouldn't call me up in front of Mr. Douglas. It's embarrassing.
Will you answer the phone?
Oh, hello. This is Gracie Allen speaking. And I can't go out with you tonight because maybe I've got a date with Mr. Douglas.
Yeah, maybe not.
What? You say you've known me longer than Mr. Douglas? Well, that's funny. I don't recognize your voice.
Gracie, will you...
Yeah, please, Gracie. What? You say you've known me ever since I was a little girl? Well, spell your name, please. Oh, now I remember. Hello, Mother.
Mother? Well, I'm really surprised she could spell her name.
How are you, Mother? Really? Oh, poor Unky. How's Daddy, Mother? He is? Oh, poor Unky. How's my little nephew? Yeah? Oh, poor Unky. How's Unky, Mother?
Look, Gracie, will you break this up?
Mother, will you give Unky this message for me? Here it is. Goodbye.
Well, that's a smart message. Gracie, what's the matter with your uncle?
Well, Judge, you know where Unky's right leg used to be.
Where his right leg used to be?
Yes.
Well, I've got a rough idea.
Well, his left leg is there now.
His left leg is where his right leg used to be?
Yeah, but that's not the worst of it. His right leg is
where
his
left
leg
used to be. Look, let me get this straight.
Did Betty McDermott call yet, George?
Not yet.
Well, don't worry, she will.
Who's worried? So your uncle's left leg is where his right leg used to be.
George, were you ever in a train wreck?
Was I ever in a train wreck? Why, no.
Oh, that's a shame. What are you doing tonight?
Gracie, was your uncle in a train wreck?
Well, not exactly. You see, they called me from the receiving hospital and said, we've got a man here who says he's your uncle. So I said, congratulations, boy or girl. And
wait
he
a minute.
Said...
Just a minute. Look, Gracie, how did your uncle get into this receiving hospital? What happened?
Well, am I telling you what happened or are you asking me?
You're telling me.
Well, all right, don't act like I'm doing it.
Now, look, let's start from the beginning.
All right. Judge, what's the matter with your unky?
Oh, he's fine. My unky. It's your unky.
Oh, yes. Well, anywho, he's in the receiving hospital, and I was rushing down Fifth Avenue to get the subway when all of a sudden...
You were rushing down Fifth Avenue?
Yes.
The
and
subway
all...
is on Seventh Avenue.
Yeah, I know, but all the nice stores are on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So, I thought I could run for the subway and do my window shopping at the same time.
That's because you were worried about your unky.
Well, certainly. And then I ran into that dress shop that's owned by those people who came over in the Mayflower.
The Pilgrims?
No, Milgrims.
Oh, Milgrims, yes, you're right.
Yes. And I bought three dresses and the
Gracie,
cutest hat.
Gracie, what about your uncle?
Oh, Unky doesn't buy his clothes at Milgrims.
I guess your uncle gets his clothes in sacks.
No, just peanuts.
He gets peanuts in sacks.
Yeah, in those paper
sacks.
Sacks,
yes.
I say, George, old boy, this piece of humor is so funny that every time I tell it, I burst. So I'd better unbutton my vest.
Well, all right, Ray. Get started and unbutton your vest.
I say, what kind of babies aren't born with bare feet? And you say, all babies are born with bare feet. And I say, oh, no, they're not. Baby tigers aren't born with bare feet.
Ray, you can button your vest.
Oh, righto.
Betty McDermott hasn't called yet,
George? Not yet, Frank. Not yet.
Well, I hope she gets here before I leave. You know, the kid's had enough tough breaks as it is.
Gracie, your uncle is in the receiving hospital, remember?
Oh, yes. So, I finally got to the hospital and my heart was pounding. So I ran... Well, just listen to it. It's still pounding. So
quiet, somebody at the door. Come in.
Good evening. I'm looking for Miss Gracie Allen.
Gracie Allen. Am I a short girl with pretty
black
hair
mister,
and baby blue
mister,
eyes?
What can we do for you?
Well, I dabble in surrealism. My name is Charles Wentworth Spencer Lawrence, artist, critic, and bohemian.
Well, how do? And I'm Flatfoot Fuji with a floor floor.
How do?
Miss Allen, I've been admiring your surrealistic paintings in the Julian Levy Gallery.
Well, who hasn't?
Miss Allen, would you mind telling me how you got your inspiration for that painting of yours called The Love Life of an Hors d'oeuvre?
The love life of an hors d'oeuvre?
Oh, that's the one I painted with my daddy's shaving brush.
Well, it looks it.
Oh, but I'll never be able to paint another one like that.
Why not?
Well, on account of my daddy is using an electric razor now.
Well, that's a pity.
I say, George, what do you think of this one? I say, I went to see a play last night, and then you say, on borrowed time. Then I say, no, on borrowed money.
Oh, isn't it?
Yes, Ray, you can button your vest again.
Rather, yes.
Miss Allen, I'm here to invite you to an exhibition next week at the Boston Art Institute. They're hanging one of my paintings.
Oh, thank you, and you must come to Alcatraz. They're hanging one of my brothers.
Goodbye, Miss Allen. Goodbye. Everything happens to me.
Betty McDermott hasn't...
No, not yet, Frank. Not yet.
Well, anywho, George, my uncle's left leg is where his right leg used to be.
Gracie,
and his right leg...
You know, you remind me of a package of Chesterfield.
You mean because I satisfy?
No. Because you never dry up either.
I don't get it.
You don't. Well, get this. I don't want to hear any more about your uncle.
But I do, George. Gracie's aroused my curiosity.
Oh, Mr. Douglas, have I really?
Well, Paul, you got into this. You get out.
Well, what I meant was, how could your uncle have his right leg where his left leg used to be and his left leg where his right leg used to be?
Mr. Douglas, did you ever put your pants on backwards?
Beautiful, Ray, beautiful. Your violinist has such expression.
Oh, he can't help that expression, George. He's scared to death of his wife.
I thought you'd understand. And now Gracie will sing When a Prince of Bella Meets a Cinderella. Sing it, Gracie.
Oh, wait a minute, Ray. George, do you think Mr. Douglas would be interested in a little N-E-K-K-I-N-G?
N-E-K-K-I-N-G? That's wrong.
I know, but it's lots of fun. Wait a minute. George, did I tell you how smart I am? I left my umbrella on the streetcar this morning.
And that proves you're smart.
Sure, it wasn't raining. Wait a minute. George, did you hear about Joe Gordon's twin brother winning the ball game yesterday for the Yankees?
Joe Gordon has a twin brother?
That's what it said in the paper. Gordon's double wins ball game.
Let's hear the song.
Love will always be in all its glory. Nothing can take that away. Let me cite an old familiar story and show how they do it today. When a prince of a fella meets a Cinderella on a night as bright as this, Does he slip her a slipper? No, sir. Not if he can slip her a kiss. When the moonlight is yellow, does the Cinderella tell a fella to be gone? Does she leave him at midnight? No, sir. Not if she can linger till dawn. Arm in arm, they dream while they're dancing to the sound of a trumpet wail. Though it's not the place for romancing, it's a modern fairy tale. When a prince of a fella meets a Cinderella and he whispers, would thou woo? Does she cuddle up closer? Yes, sir. Honey, how's about it with you? Well, good evening, Prince Charming. How do? Imagine meeting me like this. Just thou slip me a slipper. Nay, nay. Not if thou can slip me a kiss. Art thou feeling romantic? Dost thou drive you frantic? Oh, wouldst thou like a cigarette? If I don't disappear at midnight, will that get our story upstairs? In my arms I'll dream while we're dancing to the sound of the trumpet wail. Oh, it's not the place for romancing, it's a modern fairy tale. When a prince of a fella meets a Cinderella and he whispers, wouldst thou woo? Does she cuddle up closer? Hey, nanny, nanny, honey, how's about it with you? A lack a day.
That was very nice. You've got a sweet little voice, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Oh, I think so. I've even got a prettier voice than that famous opera singer, Johnny Weissmuller.
Johnny Weissmuller?
Yes.
He's an opera singer?
Well, sure. The paper says he's a great diver.
Yes, diver. He probably goes swimming in lily ponds.
Yeah. Oh, that's very funny,
Oh, yes, that's really my own stuff.
It's as funny as laundry hanging out in the line.
Yeah, laundry hanging out in the line.
Yeah, it's a washout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, never mind. Say, Paul.
Yes, George.
Paul, since this is our second week on the Chesterfield program, I think it would be nice if you would tell us just how Chesterfields are made.
Well, I'd be glad to.
Mr. Douglas, did I tell you about my granddaddy?
Gracie, Paul is
going to... Did I tell you that my granddaddy had an emergency operation?
Gracie, do you always have to do all the talking?
Well, no.
Good. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, the reason Chesterfields are so mild...
Some people like to sew.
Gracie, Paul.
Some people like to read books.
Look.
Some people like to play bridge.
But you like to talk.
How'd you know?
Paul is trying to tell me something, and you keep on talking.
What did you say, George?
I said you keep on talking.
Well, I'll be glad to. Did you know that my granddaddy had an emergency operation?
Emergency, yes. His left leg is on his right leg. Used to be in his right leg. What are they doing? Removing his appendix?
No. They removed his whiskers from his zipper.
They removed his whiskers from his zipper?
Yes. He put on a leather jacket and couldn't get it off.
Well, the whiskers got caught in the zipper.
Yes.
That must have been a dangerous operation.
Oh, it was. They had to put the instrument down his throat and make the incision from the inside.
Well, why?
Well, if they made it from the outside, they'd ruin his leather jacket.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Paul, you were explaining about Chesterfield.
Well, the reason Chesterfield...
Betty McDermott isn't here yet.
No, George? Frank, she's not here yet.
Well, I'll bet some insignificant little thing must be keeping her away.
Frank, you're just self-conscious.
Paul, you were saying...
Oh, yes. The reason Chesterfield...
George, here's one I've just thought of.
With what?
I say, George, do you want to buy a milking stool? Then you say, why do you want to sell it? Then I say, because I can't get any milk out of it.
George!
Quiet!
Betty McDermott.
Quiet! Gracie, this goes for you and everybody else on this program. For 10 minutes, Paul Douglas has been trying to tell me something. And he's going to finish it. And I don't want to hear one sound out of anybody.
Well, you won't hear a sound out of me.
Good.
I'm all through talking.
Good. Go ahead, Paul.
As I was saying, the reason Chesterfield...
Not a sound out of anybody else.
Don't help me.
Some people never know when they're through talking.
Go ahead, Paul.
The reason Chesterfields give smokers more pleasure...
Now, if you finish saying something, it's going to keep on speaking, because all people know when you're talking.
Look, I'm going to give you a little hint. Shut up!
You mean be quiet, huh?
Yeah. Keep your mouth closed.
Don't say a word, huh?
No.
Keep still?
Yes!
Like this?
Yeah, like that. Now, go ahead, Paul.
The reason...
For how long?
Look! Everybody in the... Oh, come in!
Where's Frank Parker? Oh, there you are, Mr. Parker. I'm Mary Kelly. Remember? You had a date with my sister last week, but she wouldn't show up, so you took me out instead.
Oh. Hello, Mary.
Mary? She's big enough to be the Queen Mary.
Now listen, George, you've got to help me out of this jam. I've got to get rid of her because Betty will be here any minute.
Well, what's Miss Kelly doing here this week?
Well, you know how it is, George. She's probably infatuated.
I'm infatuated?
Oh, don't worry, Miss Kelly. You can reduce.
Frank, you got into this jam and you get out.
Well, Miss Kelly, I hate to dash your hopes this way, but I didn't ask you to come up here tonight.
No, but Betty McDermott did.
Betty McDermott?
Yeah, she sent me to keep her date with you.
Well, believe me, she's got some nerve.
No, it isn't. She's paying me.
Well, that's a nice TL for you, Frank.
Frank, if they paid you to go out with Miss Kelly, you'd be living in the fat of the land.
Gracie, listen to me. You shouldn't say that. All Miss Kelly needs is just a little exercise.
Exercise? What kind of exercise?
Just push yourself away from the dining room table 3 times a day.
Look, Paul started...
Now, just a minute. I came up here to go out with Frank Parker, and I'm getting a headache.
Yeah, I know, and he's pretty, too.
Frank and his silly dates.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can kid me if you want, but I bet the girls on the coast will be glad when I get back to Hollywood.
Oh, sure. So will the girls in New York.
Now, look, I've had enough of this.
I say, George, is this one any better?
I don't think so, Ray.
Well, then how about this one? I say, did you know they have a nightclub in New York for little babies? Then you say, a nightclub for little babies, and I say, yes, the Thought Club.
Ray, you better hurry or you'll miss them.
Oh, righto.
Miss Kelly, why don't you have Frank take you to the El Morocco?
I don't think we'd be able to get in there.
Oh, sure you would, Miss Kelly. All you have to do is turn sideways.
Say, Paul, what were you saying about Chesterfield?
Well,
second thought, I don't want to go dancing anyway. I just came from a dinner dance, and I'm too danced out.
Oh, you are not, Miss Kelly. You're just pleasingly plump.
There's an old saying, be sure you're right and then go ahead. Well, Chesterfields have the right combination for giving smokers more pleasure. A can't-be-copied blend of the world's best cigarette tobacco. So go right ahead and make Chesterfield your cigarette. That refreshing Chesterfield mildness and better taste will give you a lot more smoking pleasure. And Chesterfield time is pleasure time. Music, comedy, and sports every week on your radio. Thursdays and Saturdays, Eddie Dooley's last-minute football news. Wednesday, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. And next Friday at the same time, over these same stations, George and Gracie will be with you again.
Well, Gracie, say goodnight to everybody.
Oh, goodnight. But if I'm not too inquisitive, Mr. Douglas, are you going to drive me home?
I'm sorry, Gracie, but I haven't got a car.
Gracie, I've got a car.
Oh, that's awfully sweet of you, George. Are you sure you don't mind walking?
Good night, all. This is Paul Douglas telling you that you'll like Chesterfields because of what they always give you. A lot more smoking pleasure. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.